One of the biggest challenges that Muslims face globally is to bring their financial dealings within the ambit of the Sharia law. We're living in a world that is dominated by interests, and to overcome that and to look at the alternatives that we have from an Islamic perspective. We look at issues related to partnerships, and joining us on the line this morning from Durban, from the Al Baraka Bank, Mawlana Safwan Naflaki. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair for availing yourself to chat to us, to enlighten us on various issues. Mawlana, we discuss or we begin a series of discussions, and we start at the point of looking at partnerships. Now, from the Islamic point of view, what are the different types of partnerships?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Firstly, we need to understand what constitutes a partnership. A partnership arises when an object is jointly owned between two parties, or when two parties combine resources for a common objective. On a lighter note, one form of partnership that most of us are involved in is a marital partnership. Now, that partnership is very different to the partnership used in financing. The financing partnership, as we will learn, is a diminishing partnership, whereas our marital partnerships are flourishing partnerships, inshallah. Nonetheless, there are various different types of partnerships in terms of our economic dealings, which are broadly placed into two categories. The first is an incidental partnership. Now, in this partnership, an object is jointly owned between two parties without any contractual agreement regarding a partnership. This form of partnership is incidental and can arise through inheritance, purchase, etc., where a person, you know, two brothers, for example, inherit a property from their parents. In this case, they did not enter into any partnership agreement, but they co-own this particular asset. In such a case, each partner acts independently of the other, and there is no further relationship except ownership of the common asset. The second, more common form of partnership is contractual partnership. This partnership arises through combination of various types of resources, such as wealth, creditworthiness, labor, etc. In this form of partnership, once the resources are combined, each partner becomes a joint owner in the contribution of the other. Let's say, for example, Zaid and Muhammad each have a vehicle. They wish to start up a delivery company. So they enter into a partnership, each partner contributing his vehicle. Now, each partner will jointly own both cars. So if something happens to the car Zaid had contributed, both partners will suffer the loss. Zaid will still jointly own the remaining vehicle with Muhammad. In the incidental partnership that we mentioned first, partners are independent and cannot act on each other's behalf. Whereas in contractual partnership, each partner acts as an agent of the other with respect to the assets of the partnership. Both partners will have similar rights and liabilities and will share the profits, appreciation in value, and loss, if any, according to their proportionate ownership.
Mawlana, tell us, how do Islamic banks use the concept of partnerships when it comes to financing?
In Islamic banking, contractual partnership is the form of partnership most commonly used to finance the purchase of fixed property. The bank and the customer enter into a partnership agreement, and each contributes a portion of the purchase price of the fixed property. The customer also promises to purchase a portion of the bank share every year at a price to be determined at the sale date. So what happens annually is the bank sells a portion of its shareholding in the property to the customer at an agreed upon price. And the customer is required to agree to this sale. And through the sale, the bank diminishes its share, and the customer then pays the bank the proceeds of the sale in 12 installments over the coming year. This is done annually until the bank sells the last of its shares to the customer. This partnership structure is known as diminishing musharaka, that is, a diminishing partnership, since the bank's share diminishes every year until the customer owns the entire property. Diminishing musharaka is offered at Islamic banks, including Al Baraka Bank, to finance the purchase of residential and commercial property, also for development and construction projects, and for bond takeovers. In broad takeovers where a customer wants to move from haram interest-based finance to Sharia compliant finance. And our listeners and community is specifically encouraged, if they are involved in haram interest-based finance, to move over to a Sharia compliant finance via a bond takeover. Since a permissible alternative is available in the market, the sin of remaining in an interest agreement is far more grievous. Listeners should contact their nearest branch for more information and to view the terms and conditions. In addition, although not very common, Islamic financial institutions can use the contractual partnership to finance a business venture or business operation. In this case, a financial institution purchases a share in the customer's business or funds the customer's business on the basis of mudarada. The financial institution will share in the profit and loss of the business. So this is a clear distinction between that and a normal cash-based loan.
Yes, so that gives us the perspective on how the Islamic banks use the concept of a partnership in financing. You made reference to, you know, bond takeovers and other ways in which the Islamic bank uses these models for the, you know, how they go about doing their business. Now, the question is, what makes a diminishing musharaka different to an interest-based loan?
There are a number of differentiating factors between a diminishing musharaka arrangement and a home loan. We'll just mention a few of the most important. The first is that the Islamic bank does not lend money on interest. What it does, it pays a sum of money in purchasing a share of the subject property. Any money the bank makes on the property is through profit on sale of its shares and not interest at all. The second aspect is that the bank is exposed to ownership risk in the property. It is exposed to fluctuations in the market value of the property and its capital is not guaranteed. If the property is significantly devalued due to no fault of the customer, an Islamic bank may suffer losses as a result thereof, whereas in a conventional home loan, the customer is obliged to pay the full loan plus interest irrespective of what happens to the property. So we can see that there is a level of security seeing to the interest of the customer as well. Lastly, Islamic banking products are structured under the guidance of learned muftis and ulama to ensure Sharia compliance, and they are also audited by these ulama regularly. For example, at Al Barakah Bank, our Sharia board includes notable scholars like the internationally acclaimed Dr. Abdul Sattar Abu Ghudda, and locally we have the respected Mufti Zubair Bayaz, Shafiq Jafura, and Sheikh Advocate Muhammad Shaikh Omar. So there is a stringent level of Sharia compliance and audit that is in place to ensure that our products are Sharia compliant.
We appreciate the insight that you've shared with us, Maulana, and we look forward to taking the discussion further, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, that was Maulana Safwan Navlaki speaking to us about partnerships and how this is used in Islamic finance.